Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, and we're talking about peacemaking. Listeners, our world is full of trauma and disagreement, even fighting wars, and we want to talk peace. We've got a panel of experts with us today. We have two people that you already know, which is Ron Price. Welcome back, Ron.
Thanks, Tom. Good to be with you.
And Judy Scholl with Childhoods with Jesus. Welcome, Judy.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for inviting us.
And we have a new guest here, which is Charlie Brown. This is, I'm sure there's been many smile introducing Charlie Brown, but this is the real Charlie Brown. And welcome to our program, Charlie.
Thank you for the invitation, and it's a privilege to join you. And yes, I have had fun with my name all my adult life.
Did your parents do this on purpose, or?
You know, I am the original Charlie Brown in the sense that in my childhood, the cartoon character had not yet hit, well, I hadn't even been drawn early on. And it wasn't until my high school years that I got my nickname, and I actually got it from a popular song, Charlie Brown, He's a Clown. And then came the cartoon strip. So I think Charles Schulz owes me some royalty for the use of my name.
There you go. Very good. Well, Ron, why don't you give us just a little thought of where we're going in this program, and then we'll have a word of prayer.
There's a new ministry entity that we'd like people to know about, the Institute for Biblical Peacemakers. As you started us off, peace is elusive, it seems, in our culture, and not just ours, in humanity. Jesus told us in the last days we'll hear of wars and rumors of wars. That's not just countries, that's among families, churches, neighborhoods, you name it. And so we're going to talk about the Institute for Biblical Peacemakers, which has resources to help people experience more peace and joy, less strife and grief.
Amen. Ron, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Be happy to, Tom. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for loving us as you do. Jesus, thank you that you are the Prince of Peace. And we know that we lived in this world where, unfortunately, other forces are in play. And again, peace is a rare commodity, unfortunately. But we just thank you that we can have peace in you. And we ask your blessing upon this broadcast, that you'll help us as we formulate it. But especially that those that are going to hear this message, Father, that they'll realize that peace is possible in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and other resources that you ordain. So we thank you for this time. We thank you for the privilege of serving you and others. And we pray this by faith in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listeners, each one of these panelists, even though the Institute of Biblical Peacemaking is a new entity, each one of them come with years of experience in their own sphere of influence. Ron Price, if you've been following us on the radio, has a radio program. You know that he's also written three books. He does lectures across the country. Ron, tell our listeners about the three books, and those three books kind of divide into at least three of the areas where peacemaking needs to abound.
Well, thank you, Tom. Yeah, wrote Play Nice in Your Sandbox at Work in 2016, Play Nice in Your Sandbox at Home in 2018, and then Play Nice in Your Sandbox at Church in 2020, and had the privilege of spending 3 hours interviewing with you about each of those books. That was a great joy for me, so thank you for that.
Well, thank you, and you also do tours and speaking arrangements, and you came to Michigan in 2023, and you're continuing that tour in Tennessee and Georgia. this spring and wherever else the Lord takes you. The three areas that you identified were the workplace. There's turmoil in workplace. People get fired, and sometimes it's not necessarily with cause, or it's because of turmoil in relationships. Of course, in the home, we see much too much of turmoil in the home. And like you always say, Ron, that the third book is the book you never should have had to write, and that is at church.
I wouldn't think we'd need a book telling Christians they ought to get along and how to do it. I thought the Bible already did that pretty well. But again, that's what we hope to focus on today, that the churches do. They're not immune by any means. In fact, churches are in the enemy's crosshairs. And if he can take down a church, he can do great havoc. So we can't let him get away with it.
Amen. Let's segue over to Charlie. That has been part of your focus, is helping congregations make amends and to get along. Tell us about your experience in this area.
I'm going to start with an illustration I experienced. I had while in the air at 30,000 feet traveling across country to work with a church. My seatmate we were talking about our work. And when he asked what I did, I told him I'm a mediator and conflict resolution specialist. And he said, well, what organizations or people do you work with? When I said I work mostly with churches and Christian organizations, he said, Charlie, I would think that churches and Christian organizations wouldn't need your services. And I said, you, sir, I called him by name and I said, you don't realize it, but you just confessed to me that you don't go to the church regularly, right? And he said, you got me on that one. I am a lifetime pastor. After pastoring for about a third of my career, I was asked to serve as a supervisor of pastors in our denomination. We call it a ministerial director, working with about 55 pastors in Western Canada. And then I saw experience after experience how churches are just too regularly in conflict. And when I went searching for help, I didn't find much of anybody. In fact, I didn't find any organization in our denomination that was prepared to go in and work with a congregation in conflict and help them guide it through it and give them a pathway to the future. I did find an organization called Peacemaker Ministries who has been doing that. I went, took their training. I became the first person in our denomination to become a certified conciliator with Peacemakers. And I have been focusing on congregational intervention for over 20 years. It has been very fulfilling. It's also been very frustrating at times. But it has been a very special ministry that's close to my heart.
You know, as you were sharing that, Chuck, I got the thinking that are you the Maytag repairman that you sit by the phone just waiting for people to call about conflicts in local congregations?
Well, you know, it is a problem. You can't really advertise a ministry bragging about your successes because you don't want to embarrass churches by telling the world about their conflicts. But I don't sit by the phone waiting for it, but too often they find me. I've been operating a ministry for 20 years for our denomination, and Ron knew me, and he said, Charlie, what's going to happen when we're too old to function, and will you teach me what you know about congregational intervention? And I said, sure. But the process of discussion led us to the point where we said, we need to create a ministry that will outlast us, and that was the reason for creating the Institute for Biblical Peacemakers.
I'm so glad you have. Let's move on to Judy. Now, Judy, you know, adults have trouble getting along, but at least children play nicely on the playground, right?
Oh, absolutely. There is never a conflict with the first 2 seconds, maybe. I got involved with the Young Peacemaker program many years ago. I had a teacher friend who excitedly one year said, you are not going to believe I have found the perfect program to use in school. Usually she was telling me about all the problems she had in her classroom. And this year she told me all about the Young Peacemaker program. Nothing is that good. Absolutely nothing. But I found out more about it. I started using it in my classroom. And I was amazed at how things changed over the course of the year, because you're training children how to get along with each other, not just in the classroom, but with their brothers and sisters and with their parents.
Amen. So, Judy, how many years of experience with peacemakers have you practiced this?
Oh, dear. You're asking a tough question. Probably at least 2 decades.
You know, as I've heard you talk in various settings, and some of them are not necessarily, sometimes they're in other venues besides school, this has become an important tool in your tool bag.
Well, I think that adults need to learn how to work with children. A lot of us grew up with authoritarian parents. Or I was fortunate I had authoritative parents, but we didn't have all of the skills maybe that we needed to learn how to teach children how to get along with each other. We would say, oh, they'll mature out of it. But you're going through a lot of difficult years as you wait for them to mature past their childishness. But if we can start saying, look, when you're putting somebody down, you're attacking them. Or when you're gossiping about somebody, you're attacking them, not just when you're physically fighting. And that was a tough one for students to comprehend, that when they put somebody down, they were attacking them. And you're saying, well, why are you attacking them? What's at the root of why you feel like doing and saying what you're saying? And that was really hard for students to accept, that maybe there was something in them that was causing the problem. But as we started teaching them how to think through what they were saying and why they were saying it, things really started to improve a lot.
Amen. Now, Ron, Charlie gave us some thought, little hint of how the Institute of Biblical Peacemaking started. Can you flesh that out a little bit?
Yeah. Again, I've been a mediator for 30 years. You get some old people on this program with you here, Tom. For 30 years, I put myself between people who are at odds with each other. And if that doesn't tell you I'm a sick man, I don't know what will. But it's a great joy. As any peacemaker knows, it's a great joy if you can play a role in helping people not become best friends, but able to work with each other in a better form or fashion of their choosing. And I've done that on an interpersonal level, but I knew Charlie worked with churches, and I've never done that. And so I just called him one day, and he summed it up very well. And so from that, We thought, all right, who else do we know that has a passion in this area, some level of expertise? And so we put together a panel of advisors, and that's where we reached out to Judy and other people that, again, are in the area of peacemaking. And so we've put together some programs where we can now go to a church. If a church is in danger of splitting, the sooner we can get in, the better. But we're following Charlie's model and helping them learn some good peacemaking skills, helping them resolve differences that they've had with each other. And we leave, usually, not always, but usually we leave them in a better place. But again, that's where Judy also came in. We're going to now address teachers and students with that. We're going to offer conflict coaching if a pastor or any church member has an issue and they'd like coaching on how to best address that, we'll offer that. we're just starting, and God knows where this is going to go. He hasn't told us all the details yet, but we're excited about it.
Charlie, would you give our listeners an idea of a few situations that you've experienced and how you use peacemaking to bring tranquility to congregations?
Tom, before I do that, I'd like to mention to your audience that there was in a recent Christianity Today an article of an interview that was done with the CEO of Peacemaker Ministries. And in that article, the lady who's the CEO now commented about how conflict among churches is on the rise. It has always been there. It is the first and major reason for pastors quitting the ministry or having to move to another congregation. And it is on the rise because perhaps the world is becoming so polarized and in conflict with each other. So it doesn't matter what denomination you are or what faith you are, because churches are made up of people, there will be conflict. And as it relates to my 20 years of service and congregational intervention, it has been the gamut. Sometimes I think I've never heard of anything yet, and then somebody comes up with a new reason to be in difficulty with each other. I think there's several different categories, and pastors that are listening and church leaders may see if that affects them. A conflict with the pastor, between the pastor and the congregation, conflict between the lay leaders themselves, I call that personnel conflict. Conflict about the administration of how the church is functioning. Are they following their bylaws? Are they true to their beliefs? Are they teaching aberrant theology according to their beliefs? Worship style used to be a major issue in a lot of Protestant churches because more churches were wanting to be contemporary, and those that wanted traditional worship were fighting over it. Then there's an umbrella one that is almost always present. I call it power and control. The desire of certain people within a congregation to have the decision in their lap and what they wanted for the decision, the result that is made. It seems like it's always present, sometimes a very strong aspect of the conflict, sometimes lesser and not so obvious. But those are some of the major reasons that I have found, and I think they're prevalent in nearly every congregation. It's just a matter of degree. And the issue is not, do we have a conflict? It will always be there. The issue is, are we handling it in a biblical, Christ-like fashion? And that's what we want to do in our ministry, is to teach congregations how to handle conflict in a way that would be honorable to the Lord.
You know, Charlie, we're getting ready to go to a break, but it's interesting, as you were delineating those items, I could relate to those various and could picture those various situations. As I think that I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of this conversation and how congregations can reduce conflict or at least use it constructively to spread the gospel. So we'll be back right after this break. Hold on.
When you're taking a trip, it's important to stay on the right road and to follow the GPS or roadmap to be sure that you get to your destination. Likewise, on your trip to heaven, it is vital to follow the roadmap, the Bible, God's positioning system. To do that, stay with Strong Tower Radio as we uplift the Bible and proclaim God's character. If you'd like to help with this mission, go to our secure website, www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on the donate button, or call 231-468-2087. We thank you, and may God bless you as we proclaim God's character together.
We're back with Biblical Peacemakers, and I'm your host, Tom Majeure. I have three experts with me. I have Ron Price with Play Nice in Your Sandbox book series. He also has a ministry besides Charlie Brown, who's focused on congregational conflicts. And the third one is Judy Scholl, as talks about education in the family, but largely the education. Ron, what is conflict? We know it when we've experienced it, but maybe we need to define it a little bit.
You know, Tom, I consider myself to be pretty easygoing. I think I'm a pretty easy person to get along with. I only want things two ways, my way and right now. Other than that, I am really easy to get along with.
Right.
And I say that comically, but how common is that? We are all, come on, outside of God's grace and mercy, we are selfish, self-centered individuals. And you put more than one selfish, self-centered individual together in the same locale, same area, whatever, same situation, pretty soon they're gonna bump into each other, and there's gonna be conflict. So, conflict has a negative connotation, usually because people haven't handled it well, and so it caused them some pain. It caused them to lose an opportunity or a relationship or some negative. So most people say they dread conflict, but actually, conflict, if it's handled well, can be a relationship enhancer. It can strengthen relationships if people don't prevent it and then resolve it.
May I add on, Ron, that conflict is not necessarily negative. My wife and I could be at conflict on where to go on vacation or what to do on a day of vacation. It isn't the conflict itself, it's how we respond right to conflict that gets us into a problem.
Yep.
Does conflict begin with a difference between opinions?
Absolutely.
I think that's a safe statement.
And it would seem like... Go ahead, Judy.
Well, if we go to the Bible and to James 4, 1 through 2, it tells us what causes fights and quarrels among you. Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you don't get it? There's a difference between two of us having a different opinion and one of us always having to be right.
You know, the other thing, and going to Charlie, is that when it comes to faith and religion, this is a very personal issue. And people feel often that you must be right, that compromise or some mediation, it's pretty black and white. Does that have something to do with the intensity of congregational conflict?
Well, it certainly does, because we want to believe that our beliefs are right. And if we find ourselves in conflict, we often think that we're going to have to give up a principle that we stand on. And Christian mediation is not like that. It's helping us to learn how to work together in spite of our differences and enhancing our common beliefs and positions rather than trying to get people to give up their belief or their position.
How does that happen? How do you work through that?
I don't know. That's such a broad thing. I'm not sure I can answer that simply, Tom. Trying to use the principles that Jesus has given us and how we approach things, helping people to sort it out. You know, how can we work together and still maintain our beliefs?
Tom, if I may, so often in conflicts, I think Charlie alluded to this, we take things personally. But quite often they're not personal at all. Just because the other person feels differently than I do doesn't mean they're attacking me or demeaning me in any way. I love the verse in Galatians 2 where Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If God's people would live by that verse and realize it doesn't say we have to be doormats, but we don't get to push for our rights and our ways. We gave those up. It's what does Christ want? And sometimes, you know what? He wants to bless the other person. He wants to use us to bless the other person by yielding to their wishes and their desires. And there's a joy in that. It doesn't have to always be a conflict just because there's a disagreement.
Judy, you heard Ron say, taking things personally. What if you're aware that your temperature is rising, that you're taking it personally? How can you control that? I mean, some of these conflicts that are in relationships are a person just has to look at each other and all of a sudden it sends it in orbit. It isn't even, it doesn't take much. How do you tone down and take that personal out of the conversation?
Oh, Tom, you're asking one of the hardest questions. What I would say is there's tremendous power in the Holy Spirit. And so if you're starting your day with saying, Father, I know that I'm going to be facing some conflicts today. I know there's going to be some problems. You know what my triggers are. I need help because I can't do this on my own. I have prayed for the Holy Spirit or my guardian angel to clamp their hands over my mouth and let me just listen instead of respond. And I know that's happened. I know that the Holy Spirit can fill a room and change hearts and minds. I've seen it happen over and over, not just with children, but with adults. And so that morning devotion before you really get into your day is vital to being able to deal with conflict, I believe.
What if you can prepare? I heard you saying, Judy, preparing for the day. You even talked about you may anticipate a conflict. Maybe it's a teacher that has had a student and has had problems, and you've called the parent in, and there's going to be a parent-teacher conference. You're already aware that conflict is in, you perceive it to be inevitable. What if it comes and you didn't see it coming? How do you handle that? Blindsided.
Oh, blindsided is the right word. If I know a conflict is coming, sometimes like Ron and Charles, I will invite somebody to be there as a third ear, maybe, because then they're a mediator, which is really important. When you're blindsided, you sit there and you just start praying and saying, Lord, I'm not sure where this is going. I'm not sure what just happened. I need you to do the speaking through me. And sometimes it's best to say, you know, I didn't realize this was the issue. Can we meet again tomorrow so I can get a mediator? Or you sit there and you work it out. You may have to admit that you've done something and apologize and accept that they're going to be unhappy with you. We can ask for forgiveness. And then a fifth really important step is to say, okay, if this were to happen again, this is what I would do instead. And working with children, it's really easy to work with them because you can go through those steps with them and then they can say, you can say, okay, what are you going to do in the future and help them sort things out and direct their path for when they're in conflict in the future. When it's with another adult, that's a little bit harder because you're having to do that on your own, but hopefully with the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. And let me jump into that answer as well, Tom, if I may. God designed us our brains are amazing. Inventions, creations, phenomena, whatever you want to call them. The frontal part of the brain is the thinking, logical, rational part of the brain. When we're in that part of the brain, we're going to make good decisions, typically. We're going to make advised decisions and so forth. But we also have the emotional brain, the limbic system or the amygdala. And we need that part of the brain too, but it's a terrible decision maker, terrible decision maker. That's where road rage happens, relationship rage. So in answer to your question, if it's a conversation is starting to what I call escalate, it's starting to get out of hand, and you're leaving your thinking brain, getting into that emotional brain, you better stop that as quick as you can, or you're going to say something you'll later wish you hadn't said, or God forbid, do something you're going to later wish you hadn't done. And we can ask everybody in the listening audience, have you ever done that? Have you ever said something you later wish you hadn't said or done something you later wish you hadn't done? Those who said, no, I've never done that, we're going to refer to Liars Anonymous. Meet right on Thursday night at the local civic center. We've all done that because we've left the thinking brain. We've gotten to the emotional brain. So as part of our curriculum, we teach people how to stay in that thinking brain and not give rise to words. George Thompson has a quote, never use words that rise readily to your lips or you'll give the greatest speech you'll ever live to regret.
Charlie, talk about conflicts in churches. How do you, let's say it's a church business meeting or board meeting, and things start going south. What words of wisdom can be taken from this interview to help mitigate conflicts in a church setting?
Well, I don't know that I could mention them in any sense of priority, but ultimately, I think the strongest thing that you can do is to acknowledge quickly that things are going the wrong direction. And if necessary, table the topic or close the meeting, one or the other. Typically, it's enough to table the topic. And in most cases, just recognizing that the tension is rising and that we're starting to move into that emotional part of the brain. I like that particular aspect because it's so easy to recognize visually as to what's happening. That would be my first reaction. Back off, change the topic, move to a different topic until we can come back and address it. If we're needing more information, if it seems to be an argument over facts, then we may have to go research and come back with all of the facts in place from different sources, and people can address more logical. There's a phrase that I have used many times.
Ooh, I think that I got from up.
And that is, the more information people have, the more rational they tend to be.
Very good. Well, I've thought about conflicts, and as you were talking, I can visualize a church board meeting where people made their statements and then they left the room, and resigned their positions and so on and so forth like that. You've probably been there, Charlie. What advice do you have in retrospect of that scenario?
Well, I think playing the scenario back, playing the tape over again, where did I go with my leadership? Was there something that I should have done, could have done? Give it a good review in retrospect and learn from the experience, because you may not have a chance to correct it. Another one is, if you feel like you have done it, then the leader has the obligation to go and make a meaningful apology and take responsibility for their mistakes. And I have found that within the church context, most of the time, that brings about the healing on such an incident that is necessary, and the other person is likely to respond in kind with a proper approach.
Very good. Judy, talk about conflicts in schools. How does that happen, and what advice do you have for, whether it be parent, teacher, or such, student, teacher? Give our audience some tools or some stories that they can relate to.
Well, I remember one story. I had two students, and all they did was fight. These were 11 or 12-year-olds. It was a boy and a girl, and they just, anything one did, the other got mad about. And we finally came to a point where I had to send the rest of the class out with another teacher to recess and sat down with the two of them and said, we're going to work this out. And I was praying and I was giving them a chance because they needed help. And what do you do in this case? And why are you acting this way? But you say, you are saying these kind of put downs to them, which means you're attacking them. Why do you feel like you need to attack them? Well, you know, they always have a good reason. And then the other child, of course, gets angry back. As I sat there working with them and praying with them, thinking, Lord, this whole conflict resolution isn't going to work. After 20 minutes, one of the children turned towards the other one and said, I am sorry. I don't mean to do that. And that was the young man. And the young lady said, I apologize. I'm so sorry I said those things. I watched the whole room transform for the rest of the year. Instead of snapping at each other, when somebody didn't have a pencil, the other one was quick to loan them one of theirs. When somebody couldn't find their paper, the other one would quick hand them a sheet. And it's through the tremendous power of prayer and helping them understand why they're doing what they're doing, and then giving them the time to work it out. And that's really hard for those of us who want a quick fix. We have to give them time.
So,
and Tom, may I suggest something, Tom, that a very major concept that I would want peacemakers to remember is that when the reaction to what is happening is out of character with the perceived event, then it's not the real issue. And so many times what we need to do is look for the underlying real issue rather than reacting to the presenting issue.
Yes, very good. Well, listeners, you've been talking to three individuals that are part of the Biblical Institute, Biblical Peacemakers Institute, and we'll be right back after this break.
Hi, folks. Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, surely I am coming quickly. We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087. On Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back talking about Biblical Peacemakers Institute. We have Ron Price and Charlie Brown. They're the founders of this institute, and one of their associates is Judy Scholl. And we've been talking about conflict. We've been talking about institutions, largely schools and churches. So, Charlie, would you lead off on what services does Biblical Peacemakers Institute provide to your clients?
I'd be happy to, and it may be that Ron will want to chime in if I'm overlooking something. First of all, we offer a very basic course in biblical peacemaking, and we do it online. It's a 12-session lesson, about 30 minutes each. People sign up for it. They get the download of the outline and do it at home. And it's just a good basic course on biblical peacemaking. From that, we will add on to it training in conflict coaching, conflict mediation. So we will be offering a rather broad spectrum of training in how to become a peacemaker. We also offer conflict coaching live by Zoom for individuals that are facing an issue. They want help. They can call us up. We can set it up, and one of our conciliators can serve them as a conflict coach. We offer congregational intervention, and in which case the pastor or church leaders call us. We explain the process. We end up the church voting to have us come, and this is something we do live in about a 10-day process. So that's a major thing that we offer. Ron, have I missed something here?
And if individuals, family members, church members, business coworkers, whatever, we can offer mediation for them to. We'll come in again by Zoom more than likely, unless we're in the area. Oftentimes, when you're in a dispute with somebody else, Tom, it's hard to get out of the box, to get out of the situation and look at it rationally and objectively. And so calling on a third party to come in and help, there shouldn't be any shame in that at all. Sometimes we can fix other people's problems, not our own. So we want to have mediators ready on the go to intervene in those situations.
And Ron, we're sometimes asked by Christian organizations beyond churches to come in and do some seminar for their employees and perhaps offer mediation for issues going on within that organization.
Right.
And we're happy to do that.
And again, Tom, if I may, before I turn it back to you, most people, I think I saw the statistics, 2/3 of Americans say they dread conflict. Well, I think the other third probably lied. I think most people, they will say they dread conflict, but conflict's inevitable. Most people dread it because they don't know how to handle it. So let's equip people. Romans 12:18 has become my theme verse. As far as depends on you, get along with others. As far as within your ability, live at peace with others. Well, that's what we're about at the Institute for Biblical Peacemakers, expanding people's ability to live out Romans 12:18.
And Ron, an illustration that I had with a college classmate and actually a roommate, fellow pastor for many years, at a training session I was doing, he said, "Charlie, what is it that you do? I tried and I had a miserable failure. It was worse." And when I gave him just a few principles that we teach, he said, "Man, if I'd have known that, I could have handled that situation." So it's not rocket science, but it's just good biblical principles.
So one of the things I gather is you have an online course, and then you have different levels. You'd be happy if they solved those problems at the first and second level without having to have personal live intervention.
True.
Sure.
Absolutely. Well, good. Now, Judy, you have a program too. Yours, you like to call it as preventative, but you speak with groups of people and share how to avoid conflicts, whether it be in the classroom or parent, teachers, faculty, and such. So line out what you're offering.
Well, I have several opportunities because parents need to learn how to deal with conflicts with their children, because as hard as they try, their children are never perfect. Teachers, of course, your classroom, you have 30, 35 different personalities to work with. And helping those two groups understand what's at the root of conflict And then what do you do about it? Do you overlook it? Sometimes we can overlook things. Do you talk to them about it, which is the greatest thing to do? Or do you go to get help? And then who do you go to get help? Also, I've talked to youth leaders, camp counselors. This last year, I had the opportunity to work with 7 different teenage groups about this very topic. And what surprised me was how engaged they were with wanting to know how to deal with conflict. And it was exciting to see them as you gave them different scenarios after the training. How would you deal with this? Well, before they would have dealt with it one way, but after they go through the training, suddenly they've got a whole different perspective. And hopefully that's carrying on into their daily life.
Ron, you're known for your various programs and classes you present. You're going to be bringing those skills and kind of mirroring them with the experience that Charlie Brown has. You've been an understudy, and tell us some of your objectives in this Biblical Peacemakers.
Yeah, Tom, thank you. I do. I have a weekend that I do in healthy churches that want to stay healthy or just want to learn a little bit more how to prevent conflict. You used the word avoid conflict earlier, and that's a common word, Tom. I'm not faulting you. But you can't avoid conflict. It's going to find you. And trying to avoid conflict is almost like trying to avoid, you know, you got a pain in your side, and, well, I'm just going to ignore it. Maybe it'll go away, and then by the time you realize, oops, I should go do something about it. It's the same with conflict. Don't avoid it. Deal with it, but deal with it in a positive manner. So I've got a weekend that helps people in churches know how to get along better in their church, in their family, at their work situations. But again, I'm really excited to be Charlie's understudy. I've never known how to help churches as a whole resolve their differences. So my goal is to learn from Charlie. We've done one together. We're getting ready to do another one here next week or 2 weeks. I'd like to do one more, but then hopefully Charlie will find somebody else to disciple. I'll be ready by that time to find somebody else to disciple, bring them along for 2 or 3 sessions, and then encourage them to go find somebody to disciple. We'd like to have people in all across the country ready to step in and intervene if a church is in trouble. Don't let the church split. Don't let the enemy win. Let's fight back in God's power and his strength. So I'm a student. I'm learning from Charlie, and happy to be doing it.
Charlie, would you, our listeners are probably already saying, I'm interested in this. I can see the application to someplace very close to me. What is the website, and how can our listeners reach out to each one of you?
Our website is biblicalpeacemakers.org. That's our short version of the Institute for Biblical Peacemakers. So the website again is biblicalpeacemakers.org, and much of what we talked about is laid up there in the website, including how they can register for the basic course.
Now, how do they reach you by email, Charlie?
Simple address of C. Brown at biblicalpeacemakers.org.
And so for Ron Price, it would be rprice at biblicalpeacemakers.org. And Judy,
correct,
which would be J. Scholl at biblicalpeacemakers.org.
Hey, you're a fast learner, Tom. Congratulations. Oh, you got it.
I saw the pattern, so. Well, good. What is one takeaway that, Charlie, that you could give to any church, whether in conflict or not? What would be that word of wisdom?
Well, I guess I want to kind of bring a touch of reality. We're talking about the ideal, and if we follow the ideal,
and everybody responds in the ideal, it would be a little bit of heaven. The reality is that we will never be there. The solution is never perfect. And maybe we should remember that there was a time when there was the most difficult conflict that could be imagined. The three best mediators were tackling the project. They worked long and hard, and they failed. And their names were God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You can't reconcile with people who don't want to reconcile. So we ought not to be surprised when, even following all of these wonderful principles that we talk about, fail, because God will not overrule the individual right to decide for themselves.
Judy,
so what we need to be doing is focus on the process, not the result.
Thank you, and thank you for giving that broad perspective that sometimes reconciliation doesn't happen, but we should at least try our best to and have the peace that we did our part.
That's right.
Judy, leave our listeners with a thought, a takeaway.
I would like to say that when you follow the peacemaker approach and follow the biblical instructions for how we get along with each other, life gets better. It takes a while. 1 year, it took me until it was still January when I was working through some issues with some of the girls in my class. But when they finally caught on, it did become a little piece of heaven. Don't give up. Keep praying. And like Carly says, some people just refuse to make it work. But remember, it takes two to fight. And are we one of the problems in the situation? We've got to turn that over to the Lord and say, is there something in me that needs to change? And then ask the Lord to lead us into what we should be doing.
Amen.
Ron, if there is a conflict, is there light at the other end of the tunnel? Can a relationship actually be better after working through the process of conflict?
Oh, yeah, Tom, that's a rhetorical question you just asked there, young man. You know the answer is yes, because once people have a confidence that they can take on their differences, they can handle them in a God-honoring manner, then conflict becomes less scary, less dreadful, and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, and again, all relationships are going to have conflict. Conflict is inevitable. Damage relationships are optional. So please, if you're within the sound of my voice, don't dread conflict. Learn how to deal with it. And you'll be glad you did.
Charlie, can groups of people who are in conflict, can they move away from looking at it as personal to together solving the problem?
Yes, I think they can, and they often do. Sometimes we enter the process when it's too late, but that's still not impossible to get a benefit. Even if all the church or group learns is how to deal with it the next time, that's worthwhile. It's never too late to start learning, and God will honor the effort.
Judy, would you share how our listeners can reach out again to you and the services you might be able to offer them?
Sure. If you go to biblicalpeacemakers.org, and you will find a drop-down box, if not today, tomorrow, that will show you how to connect with me and to what groups that I have been able to reach out to. We can do Zoom, we can do in person. I'd be glad to talk to you, and just reach out to me at jshull@biblicalpeacemakers.org.
Very good. And Ron, what can you offer our listeners?
Tom, thank you. I was hoping you'd ask that. I want to give one tip. I've been a mediator for over 30 years. Again, putting myself between people who are at odds with each other. And if people would learn this one tip that I'm about to share, I think I'd have had to find a different profession. Again, we talked earlier about the thinking brain and the emotional brain. If one or both people in a situation are in the emotional brain, don't even try to converse. Don't even try, because by definition, you're not at your best. So all you've got to do is call a timeout. But you got to call a timeout the right way, the correct way, I should say. So often, if an argument is ensuing, one party will get frustrated and just say, you know what, timeout, and they'll storm out of the room. That's the wrong way to do it. Because you've left the other person wondering, well, wait a minute, are we ever going to talk about this? Are you rejecting me? Are you rejecting our relationship? They don't know. So if they care about you, they have to come after you, say, no, we got to talk, which is going to further infuriate you, and you're going to want to walk further and faster. And it's a very common, very frustrating, very fixable dance. All the frustrated person has to say is, you know what, I'm too upset to talk right now. Give me an hour. Or let's get together at 2 o'clock. We'll talk then. The rule for timeout is whoever calls the timeout must call the time in. You let the other person know, I'm not rejecting you. I'm not rejecting our relationship. I'm just too upset to talk right now. So you set the time typically within 24 hours of when you will have the conversation after both of you have calmed down, gotten back to your thinking brain, you'll have a much more productive conversation. I just about guarantee it.
Charlie, give us a final thought and how people can get a hold of you.
Well, I think what I said earlier, I'd rest with my final thought about don't expect to have heaven on earth the first time and every time. Let's deal with reality. Let's follow the principles the Lord gave us and leave the results up to God. And as far as contacting me, it's cbrown@biblicalpeacemakers.org. And be happy to talk to you or email with you.
Well, listeners, you've been listening to three individuals, Judy Scholl, Ron Price, and Charlie Brown of the Biblical Peacemakers. And there's certainly a place where you can apply some of these principles in your school, in your home, in your workplace, and in your place of worship. Let's practice these principles in our lives. God bless, and until next time, I'm your host, Tom Majeure, for Strong Tower Radio. Bye now.